And good afternoon. It is a Wednesday, first day of summer 2017. Also the summer solstice. So we will have more daylight hours today than any other day of the year. So it will probably be daylight till pretty close to 10 o'clock tonight. So stay out and enjoy it unless it rains, which it might because it has most days this week. 14 minutes past the hour coming up on 15. Joined in studio by a gentleman who will come to the WWGH radio airwaves with his own program starting in 2 days, Friday morning from 10:15 to 12 noon with the Corey Durbin Show. And the host is Les Matthews. No, it's Corey Durbin, of course. And I, you know, this is how bad it is because Corey and I have really only communicated on the internet, and I didn't want to screw your name up. I actually had an index card written down so I remembered your name.
Well, I trust. You seem like a trustworthy guy.
Do so I?
Yes.
I might have been leaving you just a hole in the ground or something. And his co-host, Billy, whose last name I have not. I don't even think you've said it yet, have
Park,
you?
Park. Yes.
Billy Park. That's easy to remember.
We always tease him. He's going to get his own city one day and name the park Billy Park.
Billy Park.
Yeah.
I love it. Now, Friday morning, 10:15 to 12 noon, the Billy Park Show. the Corey Durbin Show with Billy Park. What can we expect this Friday, or have you even thought about it?
You know, I just kind of roll with whatever's going on that day or in this particular week. You know, I like to hear from people. So if you're out there listening from 10:15 to 12 on Friday, I would love to hear. I'll talk about anything, man. So, you know, we'll certainly have a direction to the show on any particular day. But if you want to call and just talk, call us and we'll argue. We'll do whatever you want.
And this has been one of our. Well, let's do it. We're gonna argue right now because we're gonna get into the what we would call a. You know, everybody calls these hot topics. What's another? Give me a good term. It's a topic that's high up on people's list.
I don't know.
Don't you have a tendency to call it a hot topic?
Yeah, that's what I would call it.
It's a hot topic, then. Here it goes. A study released today from economists at the University of California, Berkeley, found that Seattle's landmark minimum wage increase has not cost jobs. Seattle's minimum wage currently ranges from $11 to $15 an hour, depending on the size of the business and the benefits it offers. To complete the study, researchers looked at employment data from before and after the law took effect in 2015. They focused on jobs in the food service industry due to high concentration of minimum wage positions. The thinking went, if there were job losses, they would happen in restaurants. Their finding comes with an important note. Given the context of the debate over the minimum wage, franchise owners are often at the center of that debate, claiming they'll suffer from increased wages or regulations. The researchers write that they found no job losses due to minimum wage raises. Even among the limited service restaurants, many of them franchisees, for whom the policy was most binding. Okay, why is it, Corey? We all said Bernie Sanders was nuts. Somebody called in the other day and said he was crazy because he wanted that $15 minimum wage. But in Seattle, jobs actually did not go down with a $15 minimum wage.
Well, just based on what you read, I would have to ask, are they reporting businesses that may have had to close because of the raise in minimum wage? Are they reporting that as a job loss? And there was no mention of it there, and I would be curious to know if that plays any role in the study. But assuming that what they're saying is
true.
Well,
it says has not cost jobs.
Yes.
So there is no job loss. Isn't that what that means?
Well, I mean, I guess yes. I would say, though, that either A, in the short term, those companies have been able to up the pay and stay in business. Or I would also have to see, though, if – because, you know, one of the main arguments about raising minimum wage is, well, if you're going to raise this kid who's been working here for a month to $15, what about the guy that's been working there for 10 years? So I don't know if maybe those people got angry and quit so they could hire younger people. I don't know.
But is that a solvent argument, really? Because, okay, let's say I make $15 and you make $8.15.
Right.
Now, if you start making $15, I'm still making $15. Why would I get angry and quit?
Well, because if you've been there for 10 years and you worked your way up, you know, a dollar a year essentially, and it's taken you that long to get that high, and then some kid walks in off the street and he's already getting as much as you, that would make me angry.
Well, but doesn't just the law of statistics say that if the kid's making $15 an hour now, that they're probably likely to eat at McDonald's or Burger King or Wendy's more often, which would up the profit of the business, which would probably take me who started at $15 and allow me to get a raise that maybe I would not have gotten before?
Theoretically, I guess that it... Here's also the problem, though. When you raise the minimum wage... See, and Seattle's, it's hard to compare that to what would happen if the whole entire country raised. Because if the entire country were to raise, or at least, you know, 25 of the 50 states, McDonald's is going to know that. And all of a sudden, your dollar menu is going to be the $5 menu.
But I don't think it is in Seattle.
And that's what I'm saying, you know, but there is the possibility that in Seattle, maybe, you know, you don't want to. Well, see, it's hard to argue this, in my opinion, because it's one city in one state. So, I don't know. I don't know all the statistics. I don't know how McDonald's has been affected there.
Why is the national minimum wage $7.25, but even in Ohio, we've raised it to $8.15?
That is a good question, and that is something that I... See, I don't agree with the minimum wage in the first place. Because nobody is going to go to work for a job where they're paying $1. The market itself will create a minimum wage, in my opinion. So I don't know why there needs to be a federal minimum wage and a state minimum wage.
Because they were paying. There was a time when they were paying people nearly what they weren't worth.
In my opinion, though. And this is hard to comprehend because nobody, like you said, the minimum wage now nationwide is, you know, $7. It's not a quarter. But if we really wanted to, we could go back to a time when there was just, when we could live today off of a quarter an hour. Because if we were getting paid a quarter an hour, people who are selling things have to lower all their prices. So it's just, you know, if you raise the minimum wage, everything else is going to raise with it. You're basically paying the same amount. It's just a different number. Everything else is still...
Here's the flaw with that argument, though. Minimum wage has raised because of inflation.
Yes.
Minimum wage never drove inflation. You're saying minimum wage drives inflation. That if we raise the minimum wage, that the inflation would happen. But what has happened is inflation happened, right. And then people had to raise the minimum wage because it was no longer sufficient. And,
right.
And businesses were not raising it on their own.
Yeah. No, and you're right. I think that whatever side of the aisle you're on, the past 15 to 20 years, creating money and spending money in Washington has been out of control. And that, honestly, is what has created or contributed to basically all of our economic problems in this country. So you're right.
But is it spending on what? Because I would imagine you would know what we spend most of our money on in the government. Defense.
We
don't spend it domestically.
No. But the things we do spend it on domestically, you know, and I don't have any specifics in front of me, but I could look them up and tell you in about 3 minutes. We spend money on, you know, just absolute crap. Research on who picks their nose the most. They'll spend $1 million on that.
But there was a statistic not too long ago that I found interesting that we spend more on defense than the next 8 countries behind us combined, and 7 of them are our allies.
It depends on how you define ally.
Friendly,
are we counting
friendly.
Russia, China, and North
well,
Korea
now Russia's
as an ally?
Russia, is Russia... See, I don't know if Russia's an ally, because before the election, they were not.
Right.
Are they now? Do you call them an ally?
I don't.
Oh, I don't think this
And I wouldn't
did
trust
either.
Them. But, you know, I think that spending on defense in today's day and age where somebody like North Korea, if you believe them that they have the capabilities they do, could, you know, they could end our country in a matter of minutes.
But let's Okay, let's say that. If North Korea could end our country in a matter of minutes, why did we need all that defense?
Well, no, I'm saying if we didn't spend on the defense, that's why okay. we need to spend on the defense.
Billy, let me ask you this, because I've never gotten an answer to this, and Corey can come in on this too if he likes. Do you remember the Gulf War, the last Iraq War? Yeah. I guess it wasn't called the Gulf War. It was called the Iraq War. 2003 is what mm-hmm. I'm talking about here. Okay. Do you remember, now this is the age of news channels. President Bush said to Saddam Hussein, he said, now listen, we think you've got WMDs, weapons of mass destruction. Now you leave and we won't come looking for you. You go to an island, you go somewhere, you get out of here. We're giving you a week and we'll never come looking for you. Just leave somebody else in power, get out. And all the news channels at that time, there were three big ones. There was Fox News, CNN, and MSNBC. They all put little clocks up on the corner because Bush said, now listen, if you're not out of there by this time, if you have not surrendered, we're coming for you. Now, he knew this, and we had troops in the neighboring country. So now we've got this clock on the TV for a week, and the clock ran out, and he did not leave, and we came in. Now, here's the question. We dropped pamphlets on them, if you remember this. We took over their television stations and even told them we were coming. Now, here's my question. If we truly believed they had weapons of mass destruction, which are atomic weapons, why would we wind up our punch for a week and send ground troops in first? Did we not put every single one of those people at peril?
Well,
we said, this is when we're coming, this is where we're coming,
yeah.
and we believe you have those. That was his best chance to use them.
Basically gave him our game plan.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
We're coming here at this time.
We're coming in at the, but why ground troops? We have atomic weapons. Why would we send those young men and women, the bravest in the country, into a place we believed had chemicals?
You know, that is a good question, but I would also argue that there are those out there who throw a fit anytime we bomb anything. And they say, well, what about all the civilians you killed? So if you want to get around killing civilians as much as possible, you have to send ground troops. If you don't want to send ground troops, civilians will be killed. And as we saw just a few months ago in Syria, people were so upset that Trump didn't give Syria any time to get the area cleared. He just bombed them without telling them. And, you know, civilians died. People threw a fit. No matter how you do it, people are going to throw a fit. But I don't agree with giving away your position.
Billy wants to come in here. Go ahead, Billy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't agree with giving away your position. But, like, obviously, you know, civilian casualties, unfortunately, are part of war. And any, like, military operation, there's probably going to be civilian casualties. But, yeah, I don't agree. I think Trump did the right thing. Like, you can't tell someone, hey, I'm going to bomb this area at this time to get civilians out. Like, the point of doing that is to, you know, take out the targets that you're trying to kill. But,
well, let me just ask this question to that. Wasn't the reason we went in because they were killing their civilians?
Yeah.
Yes, but to counter that, though, if you don't want...
I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just...
No.
He saw this video of
yes.
civilians being
oh, yeah.
killed.
Oh, yeah.
So then he bombed, right. didn't tell them, and killed civilians.
Yeah.
But then this
and
whole...
And Assad is still in power, by the
yes.
way.
Yes. But this whole conversation started with people were upset that we sent ground troops in.
Well, but here's the point. I guess what I'm saying is North Korea is our biggest worry. It's not
yes.
Syria.
Right.
Okay. He has them. He's tested them. We know he's got them. We don't know
yes.
if he's got them to get them here.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Now, we have troops stationed in South Korea.
Right.
Now, we know he's got them. We know he does.
Yeah.
Would you ever support marching the ground troops in?
To me, that all depends on whether or not we trust China and Russia.
Well, I don't. Do we have to? I mean, if we march them, there's only one way into North Korea.
Right.
If we march them in, even if nobody's with us, even if it's just us versus them, they have them. They could explore.
Oh, yeah.
And he's nuts.
Oh, yeah.
His head looks like a sweet potato.
You're exactly right. If it was us versus them, good. But if we attack them and China doesn't take kindly to it, China's probably got the military to put against us, especially technologically.
Yeah. But do you think the ground troops that go in, do you honestly think that Kim Jong-un would not detonate a nuclear weapon right then?
He may.
He doesn't care about his own people.
No, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't. But, you know,
so should
problem
we just
solved.
I don't know if that solves the problem or not. Because it blows them up, but it also blows up thousands and thousands of our troops.
And then you have nuclear fallout around the following countries.
Yeah, there is fallout.
Here would be my argument to that, though. It's better it happens on their turf and we win than they attack our innocent civilians. See, if they're blowing up people in our military, I don't want that to happen. But the people in our military know that that could be a possibility when they go into the military.
If anybody does have an opinion, by the way, it is 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-WWGH. Or you send us a message on Facebook, WWGH 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. Or email me, Scott, at WWGH1071.com. But again, that number is 740-383-9944. The guest is Corey Durbin and Billy Park, who will be doing their show here on WWGH Radio starting Friday morning, this Friday, 10:15 a.m. until 12 noon. I don't know, it's touchy if you ask me.
Yes, it is.
See, I went right back there. It was a total... I think it's a touchy subject to march ground troops.
It is. It is. And I don't want them to go in there in harm's way and have to die, but that's what the military is for. You know, there are people that join the military because they know that that's what's going to happen. They want to be they trust themselves to go marching in there and possibly die for us rather than send their wife in. So, you know, that's you know, people are going to die either way. The way I look at it is, do you want them, our innocent civilians, or do you want our military to suffer some casualties?
We just got a question here in the email. Do you know which... there's only been one country in the history of the world to use a nuclear weapon on innocent people. Do you know who that was?
Well, I'm assuming they're setting me up to say the USA.
That is, yeah.
But I would say that... and I'm sure they're referring to Japan, correct?
Hiroshima and Nagasaki, yep. I believe that's what they...
I would say that... Japan involved a country that was trying to stay out of it, and we had to respond. We had to respond appropriately in that time.
Well, Germany had already surrendered. Italy had already surrendered.
Which begs the question, why would Japan go and do this in the first place?
Well, Pearl Harbor happened during the war. So
right.
they got us in during the war, but by the time we sent the atomic bomb over there,
right,
Germany had surrendered, Hitler was dead, Italy had surrendered, Mussolini was dead, Soviet Union was still with us, United Kingdom was still with us. It just sped it up. It allowed us to not kill more soldiers. So why not just drop an atomic bomb on North Korea?
I'm all for that. But the
and all the innocent people, just tough luck. You picked the wrong place to live, wrong zip code.
You know, some people, I guess, are unfortunate in where they're born, but I can't help that their leader is insane and could kill us first.
You know, some people would say that about us today. I wouldn't say it, but some people would.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't say that about us at all. But you know, in my opinion, other than Vietnam, we have not gotten into a war that we should not have, in my opinion. So I've never seen evidence to prove that we just go around bombing places. And that guy, whoever asked that question, mentioned one example. And that happened 100 years ago.
It's the only one ever.
So, you know.
There are no exceptions to the rule, I guess, is the problem there. I mean,
right,
if there were others, we'd probably talk about those, but there haven't been.
Right, and that just proves my point that we're not going around bombing people. We don't want people killed.
But neither are other countries. I guess that was probably more
right
to their point.
And I think that's why nothing has happened yet. Both sides are ready to go. I don't think we're going to do anything unless we're provoked. You know, as crazy as people think Donald Trump is, you know, he's one guy. I know he's the one that controls whether or not we do things, but, you know, I don't think he's going to make the sole decision. I think if people don't want us to be proactive, he's not going to be proactive.
Speaking of Donald Trump, our president, a recent poll was just taken by the Morning Consult and listed on Politico that who would be good against Donald Trump? Who do Democrats favor to run against Donald Trump if the election were held today in 2020? And the man who got the most votes here was Joe Biden, over 70% to Joe Biden. Yep. 50% have a favorable opinion of Elizabeth Warren and 47% of Al Franken. Now, Bernie Sanders was not considered in this poll because he's an independent,
right.
And I don't believe Hillary Clinton was in this poll either. But what do you think, Joe Biden?
I think he, if I'm being honest, well, you know, if he runs against Trump here in 3 years, I don't know how that one will come out. I think if he would have ran against Trump in the last election, I think he would have won because some of the union votes that Hillary lost, some of the black vote that Hillary lost to Trump would have probably went for Joe Biden, in my opinion.
Did she lose it or did they stay home?
I think a little bit of both. I think both because I know union workers who are the biggest Barack Obama supporters I've ever met, and they said they either would vote for Trump before the election or told me after that they did vote for Trump. I think that Joe Biden, you know, I think Joe Biden, at least as far as today's politician goes, is as much of an old-fashioned Democrat as you can be. And I think that right now is what would draw from both sides, and I think that he would be able to take enough of a dent out of the middle to beat Donald Trump in the last election. I don't know, because, you know, Donald Trump still has 3 more years.
Well, what if it was held today? Because that's what this poll relies on.
That is a tough question, and I think you hit on it by asking me, you know, did Hillary lose votes or did people stay home? And it just all depends on who goes out to vote. We saw that election last night in Georgia where the Democrat who didn't even live in that district and was running for, what was it, a congressman or state representative?
30 years old.
And, you know, depending on who you ask, everybody thought the guy was just going to win it easily. Some people thought the Republican should have won because it's a Republican district. Either way you look at it, the Republican won. And I think that's still representative of how this country voted back in November. They were angry. I think Republicans turned out more. And we just saw it happen again last night on a much smaller scale, but I think that it would happen again today if the presidential election were rerun.
But is Georgia a battleground state? Because
no.
I think you would say that if a Republican ran in California,
right,
they probably would not win today.
Absolutely
or
not.
Or New York.
Absolutely not.
Or even New Hampshire.
But I think that this particular district, and I can't remember exactly what, I don't think Atlanta was in this district.
Fulton County, it was.
Oh, it was.
Was.
So then, you know, that should have been an even match in the Republican one. So it's a microcosm, yes. The state of Georgia as a whole, no, is not a battleground state. But this district certainly should have been even.
I have a question here. Why do you assume that let me rephrase it. Why do you assume that people in big cities are Democrat?
Well, it's no secret that the African-American population is, you know, 90, if not 95% registered Democrat or vote that way, especially in the last two elections. I don't know. I think, honestly, a lot of them, and this is a stereotype, I would grant you that, but it's also true. A large percentage of the African American people live off of welfare and government things such as that. A lot of them are in unions because they have blue collar jobs. Unions traditionally are more democratic, liberal.
Do all white and Latino people who are on welfare and are in unions vote Democrat?
I think a lot of them do, and I think a lot of them definitely did for Barack Obama, as we saw in the results.
Why is it that the higher educated people then are now tending to vote Democrat? If you're saying the entitlement group, which is what
yes,
they're called now, and the union groups are Democratic, why are the higher educated?
Well, I think that depends. I think we're seeing a new wave of, you know, the liberal Democrat movement has really taken off in the past, I would say, 30 years. And some of those people who grew up with that and went to college and were taught in those ways are now older. They probably own businesses, have worked their way up. They're you know. But I would also say people like actors, definitely, I mean, it's not even an arguable point, are traditionally liberal and Democrat. So you've got a lot of the higher earning people who are just, for one reason or another, on the left that make a lot of money. I know that I come from a family that is certainly not in the 1% of this country, but well to do. And I know my dad has instilled conservative values in me from a specific, especially a fiscal standpoint. Because let's face it, the liberal Democrats are the party of taxation, you know, raising taxes to take your money for things that the government needs to fund, like welfare. I think that.
But is that where the biggest piece of the pie is going? I think we started earlier on. It's actually defense.
Yeah, defense. Yes, and you know, I understand the need for taxes. I understand that the government can't run off of people's donations. You know, whoever wakes up in the morning and decides that. But I think that, you know, there comes a point where taxation gets a little overboard.
Why do we? Because here's the dichotomy that always puzzles me. It's the tax the rich idea that the Republicans throw on to the Democrats, that they just want to tax the rich.
Right.
The people who are wealthy, who make over $80,000 a year,
right,
are not taxed on the same percentage scale that the people under $80,000
right
are. If they were just taxed on exactly the same scale, there would not be a problem.
No, I think that the way the tax system should work is we have just a percentage. You know, I don't know what the percentage should be. I haven't run for politics. But there needs to be a specific percentage for all groups.
Well, people, Ross Perot wanted the flat tax.
I think the flat tax.
A lot of people did.
Yes, and I think that is a good idea because.
That's pretty what Democrats, they don't necessarily want the flat tax, but they just want the wealthier people to pay more. They're not even saying
which
flat
is
tax
fine
them.
Yes, naturally they're going to pay more. Because if I have $100 and you have one and we each have to pay 10%, of course my $10 is going to be more than your 10 cents.
But that's not what happens when you get a good accountant and you know how to work the tax system.
That's true. But I think it needs to be
simplified.
What
is it? Warren Buffett, his secretary pays more in taxes than he does.
Yes. But I think
this is a problem.
Well, I think that's where the tax system needs. What's the famous line? There's how many pages in the tax code? 3,000 pages.
Bazillion.
Just simplify it. Just simplify it down to a certain percentage comes out of your income, if you're someone who believes that you should pay an income tax. Certain percentage comes out of your property tax, but just make it a flat tax. Certainly, if I have more than you, I will pay more than you, but percentage-wise, we will be equals.
But that's not how it is.
I know, but that's how it should be.
But that's a Democratic viewpoint. That's not a conservative viewpoint.
Well, but see, if that is truly the case, then I would certainly be for that.
Because the conservative viewpoint, as I understand it, is that if you give the wealthier people tax breaks, they'll create more jobs.
See, and I don't think that that's true at all. I don't agree with that. I think that, you know, we shouldn't punish business owners, though. Everybody should just pay. In my opinion, it should be, instead of a 3,000-page tax plan, it should be one page. Just tell me what I'm supposed to pay and make me pay it. And it should be equal across the board.
Billy, what do you think? Billy, this is a lot of stuff here. What do you think? It started with
Billy talk for the
rest. Yeah, let
of
him
the
go in here and get in on it. What do you think? It's Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, possibly Al Franken. There's a name. What do you think? You think any of those could go in and beat Trump? Those are who the Democrats like right now.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not a real big political guy, so I tend to just like let Corey kind of handle that.
And he went on there. He did.
Size things. But I mean, I don't really like to talk to politics a whole lot. I kind of just like.
No problem. Well, I do want to let people know we are joined in studio today by Corey Durbin and Billy Park, who will be on here Friday morning. The Corey Durbin Show starts this Friday, 10 a.m. until 12 noon. You won't want to miss it. All kinds of stuff. Corey, to wrap that all up, Hillary Clinton was not in this poll. And oddly enough, she is younger than Joe Biden. She is younger than Bernie Sanders. She is younger than our current president.
Yes.
Do you think Hillary's going to make the run again?
It depends on who else. If Joe Biden throws his name into the ring, I think it's Joe's turn. Which I think is also a ridiculous argument because everybody said this is Hillary's turn. She's been building up to this for years. She's has the rec. You know, if you think you're going to be the best person, you should run. But if Joe would have ran against Hillary, it would have caused somewhat of a divide, I think, between the Democratic Party. I don't think that's right.
I think Bernie Sanders caused quite a divide.
I think Bernie did, yes. But I think Bernie ran because, and I don't agree with most of what Bernie said, but I respect the man because he ran on what he believed. He didn't care who was in his way. He, to be honest, well, I shouldn't say that. I was
gonna go right ahead. To be honest,
I think Bernie ran on the most honest campaign from his own personal belief standpoint. He wasn't in it, in my opinion, for, and I know if my dad's listening, he's probably cringing, but I don't think Bernie personally was in it for a party or a specific. I think Bernie genuinely believed he had the best beliefs and he could have ran the country the best way possible. And I respect him for that. He didn't care that it was Hillary's turn. He didn't care who was in his way. He ran because he thought he would be the best, and that's how it should be.
She says it mattered that she was a woman.
I don't agree with that.
You don't?
No. We live in the only country where women have as many rights and as many freedoms as there have ever been in the entire world. I'm not saying that they could do better, but I think women are equal in this country.
Why don't women make the same as men?
Well, I've seen studies that would argue that for the same job, the same amount of time worked, that they do. I think that the disparage between men's and women's pay is the job title, the job type. You know, just because there aren't as many women factory workers in the country doesn't mean they don't get paid as much when they do work at the same factory as men.
45 presidents, and we've had a woman get the nomination of one of the two major parties one time.
Yeah, I would argue, though, that were those women, were they actually qualified? Were they good enough to run? And did
so Hillary was good enough to run.
I think so.
But don't you think a woman would have snuck in there somewhere if equal is equal? Don't you think?
Well, I would like to see how many women have actually tried, and I'm sure there have been some.
Geraldine Ferraro was the vice presidential candidate for right. Walter Mondale.
Yes.
Carly Fiorina tried on the Republican, yes. Finished very low. There have been women.
What's her face from Alaska?
Sarah Palin. Yeah, Sarah Palin. Yeah.
And I thought Sarah Palin did a fine job at the time. I thought Carly Fiorina was a good candidate. But
so you tend to be more of the conservative.
Yes, but I'm also, you know, I'm realistic. I'm common sense. I'm not going to sit here and bash all Democrats and praise all Republicans.
No, but I mean, it's just interesting to me that I think the closest country you could relate us to would probably be Great Britain.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will say their best leader was Margaret Thatcher.
Yes.
And they did that a long time ago.
Yeah. And that, you know, maybe she was more qualified. Maybe she had a good campaign. I don't know. I wasn't around at the time.
Now, you didn't hear people making fun of Hillary's hair or the way she looked or the clothes she wore.
Well, I mean,
or her age. I've heard about her age. She's younger than Trump, Biden, and Bernie Sanders. Did anybody say anything about Bernie Sanders' hair? Did anybody say anything about...
Well, I heard a lot of people called him Crazy Bernie, but I think well,
that's,
that,
but that's politics. People call her Crooked Hillary.
Right.
But we're talking about hair and makeup and clothes.
Well, I would say that although those things aren't right when taking into consideration the candidate, I would say that most of the people making fun of her were people who weren't going to vote for her anyways, or anybody that was running for the Democratic nomination.
Well, that's do you think people in the middle could have been a little misogynistic? You think in this country that nobody said, I'm not going to vote for her because she's a woman?
Oh, I know for a fact that there were people who
said there was misogyny. When you
lose, to a small degree.
Well, when you win the popular vote by 3 million and you lose the election in three states by 80,000 people, less than it takes to fill up a football stadium, it only takes 80,000 in a big country. And if there were 80,000 misogynists, that's it.
But what are you going to do to stop that? I mean, we live in a country where you can be free.
I'm just saying, did it count?
It may have affected, but I don't think that alone is what, she had a lot of scandals, whether you believe they're real or not, or whether they were overblown or not. She was in the news every day for something that was negative. Whether you think people are spinning it or whatever it was, to the average person who doesn't watch or pay attention, if they just see that everything in the news about her is negative, they're going to naturally not want to vote for her.
Did you understand during the second debate when Donald Trump brought Bill Clinton's mistresses to the debate, why was that a negative on Hillary?
Well, because at the time, she played it off like it was no big deal. And
well,
she,
what do you? Can you not forgive? This is forget Hillary Clinton. Can you forgive somebody who cheats on you?
Yeah, you can.
Oh well, you sound like you have experience.
No, I don't. But you don't. But you can.
Would you forgive? Would you forgive?
It would be tough, but it depends on how much you love the person, how long you've been with them, what's
what is
at
love?
Stake.
What is love?
That's a tough question. That's a whole show.
No, well, I heard of Joan Rivers used to have a funny joke where she would say, I would definitely marry again, but this time only for love of money. And that was it. So, I mean, love to me, listen, love is goofy. But we've had a big running discussion on this show. That's why I'm bringing this up.
Yeah.
To get us out of the political forum here for a minute. Does marriage work? Now, listen, if you are married, I am not condemning your marriage. If you've been married 40 years, you obviously know what you're doing. But in 2017, does marriage work?
Yes, but...
Oh, I disagree.
But I will say that... I actually saw a study, it's odd you asked this question, just days ago, that said... People our age, Billy and I are, you know, I'll be 24 next month. People our age are afraid to be alone.
Ah, you got
general.
It. You got it.
So
bingo.
But I think that some people
that's
genuinely
not love.
No, it's not. I agree that.
But you fool yourself into believing you love them,
right?
Because you love not being alone.
Yes. Yeah, and I would agree. I would say that marriage works, but if you're counting the majority, if you're doing a percentage, and you, I would say marriage does not work. If you're, but in specific cases, yes.
Here's the problem. Let me tell you how this happens. People get together. It's love. It's always love in the beginning.
Right.
It's always love. I mean, you've got about, I mean, honestly, I think you've probably got about 4 years of residual as long as there's no major catastrophe. You got about, so, but let's say in that 4 year period, you move in with the person. Well, that's love, too. In the beginning,
right.
That's great.
Right.
You hide
right.
your stuff. You hide it. It's all over here. And then, oh, my goodness, the guy proposes.
Right.
The guy and now that's a whole thing. Oh, my God, I got to show mother and my sister and the friend the ring and Facebook the thing.
Yeah.
And then we got to book the hall. We got to book the band. We got to book the honeymoon. We got to book the preacher. We got the guest list. We got
yep.
the bachelorette party, the bachelor party, the wedding, all this whole stuff. And you finally get to that day. You're totally distracted this whole time. And you get to that day, wedding's great. Best moment.
Yeah.
Oh, my good pictures.
Yep.
Tremendous. Then the honeymoon's great because it's a week off work, relaxing. You go someplace you've never been before. And then you come back. You get a week of residual because you show everybody your pictures. And now the first time a trauma comes along,
yeah.
you'll never have a wedding again.
Yeah.
You'll never have a honeymoon again. You're stuck with this person.
Yep.
And you get that, like, claustrophobia. It's like,
right.
oh, my God, what have
yep.
I done?
Right. That's what I would... people need to take their time. I think that love and marriage will work.
How long should you wait before you get married? After you meet the person?
I think it's different case by case. 20
years.
Huh?
20 years. Then you're sure.
You know, some people do that. Some people just date their whole lives and don't get married.
Why get married? I mean, really?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Do you have a girlfriend?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Is she listening?
She'll probably listen later. Okay, she'll be in with us Friday.
Oh, she'll be here Friday. Yeah, she will. Tell us about your girlfriend. Who'll be here Friday?
Well, she's also from Mansfield. We went to school together. Oddly, though, we didn't talk ever once in school.
Older or younger?
She was a grade younger than me, a year younger than me.
Now, what do you like about her?
Well, I'm more of a, I don't know if you could tell by me hogging the mic, I'm a very dominant person. She's a very sit back, laid back, relaxed, can take my personality type of person. Kind of like opposites attract.
You're like
thing.
This all the time.
Yes. Oh, okay. Well, I'm worse than this most of the time, especially if my family's listening. They're laughing right now.
Okay. Are they listening?
Probably.
Hello, family.
but
hello to the girlfriend listening. What's her name? Do you have a name?
Kayla.
She'll be here Friday. Kayla. Yes. Hello, Kayla.
But I think we work and she was also raised very much differently than me.
How long have you been together?
Well, we've been, I would say 6 months. 6 months.
Oh.
Very short still.
Holy mackerel. We're not even.
No, but I have had two separate girlfriends for 3 years.
And what happened there?
Well.
Have you ever been engaged?
No.
Okay. I have been.
Okay. Well, let's hear your experience.
And I'm not married, so there you go. So you tell me about what happened with these two girls for 3 years. What happened at the end of 3 years?
Well, I think, one, we kind of came to a mutual agreement because of the different paths that we were on in life. Because, you know, we were, you know, right in the middle of college. She decided she wanted to do one thing. I did another. And I think we're both definitely in the long run better because of it. She ended up in New York. Doing what she loved, and I.
Are you still friends?
No,
of course not.
No, but no. But not because of any reason.
The second one, just because we're running low on time here. I hate to rush you along.
No, you're fine. The second one went to college together. She actually got a job though. We got jobs 2.5 hours apart, and we couldn't live in the middle together.
Still friends?
No. not for any reason. Just because.
Okay, so
I'm a big believer that you.
You still have about 30 months to go on this relationship.
Yeah. But I'm a big believer, though, that, you know, whether you think it's okay to have your exes as friends, I don't think you should.
Do you check their Facebook page? Honestly,
no.
Do you check it? Do you watch it? Do you look at it?
I don't even know if they have one.
Oh, I don't believe that for a second.
When I was with them, they didn't, and I don't know if they've created one since.
And you wouldn't look?
Nope.
You don't care?
Nope.
If you saw them with another guy, would it bother you?
Nope.
Okay, that bad, huh?
No, I've moved on, and I think that's what people need to do. Quit talking to your exes on Facebook and be with the person you're with. That can only cause problems. Nothing good can come from that.
See, what do you think it says when the ex, let's say 4 or 5 years down the road, is still looking at your Facebook and getting angry about?
Well, I think if they're the ones that broke up with me, I think they're the ones that weren't ready to move on, and they shouldn't have.
No, but I'm saying, what does it say that they're still looking? Who cares who causes the breakup? If they're still trolling you 4 years later, and they want to know stuff about your new girlfriend, what does that say?
Well, I think a lot of people these days would want to see, did he move on to someone better? Is she better than me?
So
I think they like. I think people like to compare.
Yeah, but to the point to where they're asking questions about it. Because
I think
care.
People need to mind their own business.
Yeah, but why are they doing it? That's
the question.
I don't
know.
4 years
Billy?
Later? Yeah, Billy, you want to come in on this one?
I don't know. I mean, 4 years later, you probably shouldn't be looking at that person's...
Why do you think you're doing it, though?
Probably because subconsciously, probably. I mean, they might not think they have a problem, but they might subconsciously be still wanting to
obsessed.
Be with that
I
person.
Think they never get over it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think people move... I knew a person one time, don't want to mention the name, in case they're listening, but they from the time they left their home, their parents' house, they were with three different guys. They were engaged to all of them. Wow. Now, to me, they never were alone.
Yeah.
So I think that's not love.
All right.
That's just fear of, and I think the one you stalk is the one maybe you did love.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Now, here's the point. This is why I, because I currently do not have a girlfriend, and I like living alone. Here's what I've learned about myself in time. I like living alone. And people always say, like, what's the best, what, why do you have a girlfriend? What's the best part of it?
We have a blast together. We laugh
and
together.
And this is an HBO, so let's.
No, we can do anything together. She's always up for anything.
Okay,
we,
like, what do you like to do? Give me what you did last Friday night.
Well, I work at night, so but last Saturday we rode bikes. We went to her family's house. We went to my family's house.
Here's what happens. By the time you get to where I am, this is what happens. You're out riding bikes, and oh, you love it, and she looks good, and everything's happy, and her hair's blowing around, and then her tire comes off, and then her chain comes off, and she falls off in the weeds. Then you got to get off your bike, and you're in the poison ivy. Then you cut your finger on her chain, and she's got things all over. Then you're going to the hospital. That's not love. That's not a love picture.
Well, see, that's where I would rather do it with her than fall in the poison ivy by myself. Because it's something we could...
You'd rather ride bikes with her than fall out in the bushes.
Well, I would not want to do those things alone. I think... I don't know.
Okay. The Corey Durbin Show is coming up. My goodness, I hope this conversation continues. And the girlfriend, Kayla, will be in here on
And my
Friday.
Sister, Rachel, will
and
be
your
co-hosting.
Sister, how old your
Kayla
sister?
Will just be in here
how
hanging
How old your
out.
Sister?
She's much
Kayla
young.
Won't get on the radio.
If I can convince her, she could add some. But Rachel's 21, and she's much more fiery than me. So.
Oh, this is going to be good. We can talk women's liberation and ask her what she thinks about Hillary on Friday. This has been Corey Durbin and Billy Park, and they will be along with you on Friday morning right here on WWGH Radio, 10:15 until 12 noon. What a day it's been. This is Scott Spears. Oh, tomorrow, Dr. Art Uhlein from the Today Show, 12:15 to 1 p.m., talking about health care. So tomorrow we'll be back in the serious stuff, back in the weeds. This is Scott Spears on this first day of summer, heading for the dugout.
A presidential race in your career. Why do you think he walked away even before the question was finished?
You know, I can't explain that. And, it, you know, I've